This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome to The Encouragers with Minister Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, bringing words of encouragement for everyday life.
Our Father, who art in heaven, omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, omniscient, all-knowledgeable, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is being cheerful during bad times. My scripture is Acts 23:1-13. My text is Acts 23:11, which states, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome." It is difficult to be cheerful when things are going wrong. It is difficult to smile when you are hurting inside. However, it is possible to have a smile even in bad times. You can be cheerful. In the United States, as many as 200,000 children have had a parent die from COVID-19. In the wake of those losses, other family members, often grandparents, frequently step up to support the grieving children. Bad times will come, but we cannot quit because of bad times. This world has all kinds of problems. Wars in various places. Tornadoes are occurring in different places. Crime is running wild. Yet God's children can still be cheerful. Let us look at Paul. Paul is facing accusers who want to see him dead. The previous day, Paul saw a great opportunity go unfulfilled when the crowd at the Temple Mount did not allow him to finish his message to them, but started rioting again. Now, Paul had another opportunity to win Israel to Jesus, and perhaps a better opportunity. Here he spoke to the council with the opportunity to preach Jesus to these influential men. Paul said, "I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Paul probably thought this was an innocent enough way to begin his preaching. He did not mean that he was sinlessly perfect and that his conscience had never told him he was wrong. Rather, he meant that he had responded to conscience when he had done wrong and had set things right. See, here is the character of an honest man. He sees God before him and lives as in his sight. He makes conscious of what he says and does, and according to the best of his knowledge, he keeps from whatever is evil and cleaves to what is good. He is conscientious in all his words and conduct. Those who thus live before God may, like Paul, have confidence both toward God and man. In this crowd was Ananias the high priest. Ananias commanded those who stood by Paul to strike him on the mouth. Paul spoke, and his claim of a good conscience often offended the high priest. He thought that someone accused of such serious crimes should never claim a clear conscience. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall." Ananias, who commanded that a defenseless man be punched in the face, indeed was a whitewashed wall, a white veneer of purity covering over obvious corruption. "For you sit to judge me according to the law," And do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? Paul exposed the hypocrisy of Ananias. Those who stood by said, "Do you scold God's high priest?" Then Paul said, "I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" Great men may be told of their faults, and public complaints may be made in a proper manner. But the law of God requires respect for those in authority. Paul had gotten into trouble with the high priest, Sadducees, and the Pharisees. But when Paul perceived that the one part of the council were Sadducees and the other part were Pharisees, he identified himself with the Pharisees. The Pharisees believed in angels and spirits and in a future resurrection, though they did not accept Jesus' resurrection. The Sadducees rejected the very idea of a resurrection, as well as belief in angels and spirits. Consistent with this, the Pharisees granted that a spirit or angel might have visited Paul, while the Sadducees rejected this possibility altogether. This caused a division among the multitude who came to oppose Paul. At this point, Paul's life was in danger. The chief captain brought him to the castle for safety. Paul had been miraculously delivered from jail cells before, but this time the Lord met him right in the jail cell. We often demand that Jesus deliver us out of our circumstances when he wants to meet us right in them. "Be of good cheer, Paul." Jesus was not only with Paul, he gave him words of comfort. The words "be of good cheer" tells us that the night brought with it an emotional and perhaps spiritual darkness upon Paul. Jesus was there to cheer his faithful servant after he had spent himself for Jesus' sake. Jesus would not have said, "Be of good cheer," unless Paul needed to hear those words. Paul knew his situation was bad, but he did not know the half of it. The next day, 40 Jewish assassins would gather together and vow to go on a hunger strike until they murdered Paul. Paul did not know this would happen, but Jesus did. Yet he still could say to Paul, "Be of good cheer." You might think that things are bad right now, but you may not even know the half of it. But Jesus knows, and he still says to you, "Be of good cheer." Why? Not because everything is fine, but because God is still on his throne, and he still holds to his promise that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Anyone can be of good cheer when everything is great, but the Christian can be of good cheer when everything is rotten, knowing that God is mighty and wonderful no matter what the crisis of the moment. Although Paul had bad experiences in Jerusalem, he was not the only one who had bad experiences in Jerusalem. Jesus could tell Paul, "I know what you are going through. When I was in Jerusalem, they beat me. They lied on me. They shouted and praised me, but later they shouted, 'Crucify him.' I was hung between two criminals. I was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, I got up from the grave with all powers in my hands." Jesus remembered what Paul had done in Jerusalem and told Paul that there remained more work for him to do in Rome. Paul could have been discouraged about the lack of results from the sermon in Jerusalem, but the results were not his responsibility. His responsibility was to bring the word of God and to testify of Jesus. The results were God's responsibility. "You have testified of me in Jerusalem" means that Jesus complimented Paul on a job well done. Yet, though Paul had done a good job, there was more to do. So you must also bear witness at Rome was Paul's next assignment. The greatest words a faithful child of God can hear are, there is more for you to do. Those words grieve the lazy servant, but bring joy to a faithful servant. It can be said to every child of God, there is more for you to do. More people to bring to Christ. More ways for you to glorify Him. More people to pray with. More humble ways to serve His people. More hungry to feed. More naked to clothe. More weary saints for you to encourage. Paul could be cheerful because God often does His best work on the bad times. Saints of God can be cheerful because after bad times, God can bless you. The best is yet to come. Stay with the Lord. Rejoice. You have got the victory. It may seem dark, but stay with the Lord. You may not see your way out, but stay with the Lord. Victory is coming. When the Lord is on your side, you can be of good cheer. Look at Job. He lost all he had. Then God blessed him double. If you stay with the Lord, He will bless you. The reason I know is because He keeps blessing me. I have joy because of God. I can make it because God is on my side. Even in bad times, I can smile because God will make things right. Therefore, let's be cheerful at all times. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. There is the saving power of the Holy Spirit. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of a living God, and are willing to confess your sins to God and ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager. Today's topic is soul satisfaction. The world's best-selling book, the Bible, teaches that a person is more than just a body. Each of us is a living soul. The Hebrew name for soul, nafshah, means living being, and the Greek name for soul, psuche, means to breathe. Our souls are created in the image of God, and God has implanted His own nature within us and given us the breath of life. Just as our bodies have specific characteristics and appetites, so do our souls. The characteristics of the soul include intelligence, emotions, and will. The human soul longs for peace, contentment, and happiness. Most of all, the soul has an appetite for God, a yearning to be reconciled to its Creator and to have fellowship with Him forever. In our world, we give most of our attention to satisfying the appetites of the body, like food, clothing, and security, and practically none to the soul. Consequently, we are one-dimensional. We become physically and materially large while remaining spiritually anemic. The soul demands as much attention as the body. It demands fellowship and communion with God. It demands worship, quietness, prayer, and meditation. Nothing but God ever completely satisfies because the soul was made for Him. Jesus said in Matthew, the 22nd chapter and 37th verse, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Please don't starve your soul, for what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Remember, we have all violated God's divine law and fall short of His glory. Yet God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died.